I invite you to remain standing a moment longer for the reading of this morning's gospel. I'll be reading from the gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, welcome again to the first Sunday of the Advent season. For many who find their way into traditional churches that still celebrate Advent, that season, there is always this little bit of confusion, this little bit of a desire. We hear it every year. Why can't we sing more Christmas carols? Why can't we do these things that are going on out in the world? And friends, the answer is in this season that we are in. This is a season of preparation. This, for Christians, is not Christmas time. Christmas time will be celebrated on December the 25th. Actually, if you come to the Christmas Eve service, we celebrate the birth of the Christ child. But in the sense of preparation, these first 4 weeks of the brand new Christian year, we are in Advent. It is a time when we don't sing Christmas carols. We sing songs that prepare us for the comings of the Lord. Now, did you notice I added an S on the word coming? Comings of Christ. And so for us Christians, Advent is not simply, although certainly it is, the reflection and celebration of the birth of the baby Jesus in Bethlehem, but Advent is also the reminder and then our expected response into the world of a time of preparation, for there are other comings of Jesus. We call his great return the second coming, so certainly this is a season of being aware that Christ has promised to return. And the third kind of coming that we experience is the everyday comings of Jesus into our lives, to make us the people, the faithful followers of Jesus. So we talk in terms of the comings of Jesus. And yes, we go out into the world, and yes, we are busy in the season thinking about Christmas. We've got shopping to do and cooking, and plans are being made for gathering of folks, and where we'll be this time of the day and where we'll be later in the day on Christmas. We have all of those kinds of things that go on. But let's not forget about the comings of Jesus. So let's think in terms of Advent being a time of preparation, a time when we are reminded of whose we are and this need to share a witness to the world that is drawn up in consumerism, that is bumping into one another in the stores, that we lose our tempers. Let's, us Christians, have a role in the world testifying to the comings of Jesus. Now let's talk a little bit about today's text that I read to you. Certainly we're in the 21st chapter of Luke's gospel. So this is year C in the lectionary readings, the Revised Common Lectionary, which means we have Luke as the primary gospel text now for an entire year as we follow the stories of Jesus. But why did we start in the 21st chapter? This chapter, chapter 21 in Luke's gospel, is the final teachings of Jesus before he goes to the cross. And of course is resurrected and then ascends to be at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. These are important teachings for Jesus and his followers to understand in a time of preparation. When Luke finally gets around to putting the stories that make up Luke's gospel, it's after the temple has been destroyed, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. So we know that that temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So Luke finally puts down in writing all of these stories 40 years, roughly, after Jesus' death and resurrection. So the people, the Jewish people of the time, and the Christians, the early Christian church, is feeling the weight of the oppressive world around it, especially the Roman government. Now, the Roman government is trying to put down a Jewish revolt that went on from about 66 AD to 70 AD. So it's a really tough time in this part of the world for people who are of Jewish heritage and following, but also the emerging Christian church in the area that has many former followers of Judaism. And so as the Jewish church points to Christians to try to do that he did it, she did it kind of thing, to cast some light on other groups to get the heat off of their own back, people are simply feeling persecuted. And so this text that we hear, this reminder, is meant for people who are in really tough places. 2,000 years later, and for the last 2,000 years, Christians have found themselves in really tough places. There are oppressive governments still today. There is sickness and death and dying still today. There are relationships on the rocks still today. We have some of the same kinds of problems still today. And so Luke writes with this apocalyptic kind of wording that Jesus is giving to his followers to give them hope in the midst of this world that's filled with stress and anxiety, with darkness and foreboding. Luke wants Jesus' followers to hear that Jesus is coming again. And when he returns, when he comes again, that's when all those people that have antagonized the faithful followers, that's when all those people that have done evil against the faithful followers, that's when all the people that have discarded who Jesus is in the world, that's when judgment comes, and thereby the faithful are redeemed. Stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Luke wanted us to hear those words of encouragement. Jesus certainly wants us to hear those words of encouragement, not to lose hope. So in this season of preparation, as we're busy about getting ready for Christmas, let's not forget Advent. You know, it's nice to come into an already beautiful place to worship. It's so nice to be reminded of God's presence with these decorations, these trappings of Advent and Christmas. They're great reminders, but there's more to our lives than simply decorating our worship space. You know, there's been a lot of preachers that have used the text that I read to you this morning in a number of ways. Some of them have used them as scare tactics to move people in fear to having faith in God. There was a preacher I was reading about that was really bringing some drama to his reading of the text, and he was trying to explain to people using this apocalyptic language about the eschatology at hand, the end times. And he was talking about how those signs of the times must be upon us, the lightning, the thunder, the earthquakes, the rivers that were swelling and flooding. And he was getting so animated, and this little girl leaned over to her mother and said, Will they let me out of school on that day, Mommy? You know, we get in our routines. Now, granted, we knew that Advent was coming. We knew where these decorations go. It's part of our tradition. It's part of our routine, but we do them because of the purpose. And again, that's why we celebrate Advent. Because we need to be reminded that there's more than just putting up a Christmas tree in our homes. There's more than just turning on Christmas carols. There's more than just throwing a log in the fireplace. There's more than sugar plums dancing in our heads. There's the comings of Jesus. And the question, are we prepared? You know, the story is filled, I mean, the Bible is filled with stories of God showing up. And certainly in the Christmas story, we know God shows up. But God doesn't show up the way that the people expected. God doesn't show up in Advent the way we expect in nice, pretty little boxes. God shows up in Bethlehem in the amniotic waters of an unwed teenager. God shows up living in a horse trough in a manger. God shows up to people who are cast out by society, lepers, divorced people. God shows up in so many ways, and yet we miss those signs. So friends, during the Advent season, take time. Be intentional about your own preparations. Read Scripture. Be a part of a prayer group, or at least increase your praying so that you can be aware of Christ's coming. Maybe it's that everyday coming into your life. Maybe it's the prayers to be prepared for that second coming. But know that God shows up. And as Jesus taught the disciples, when we don't expect it. For only God knows when God's going to return. Be excited about your faith during this Advent season, and let your friends, let your coworkers, your classmates, let the world know that you have this expected anticipation, that you are readying yourself for Christmas, but that Christmas isn't here. You've got this tradition of Advent to prepare for. The famous Dwight Moody told a story about a woman of great faith. She was an optimistic woman, always cheerful, but life had been tough on her. She was down on her luck, many would describe her as being, certainly without a job. She lived on the fifth floor of an apartment building in New York. And one day, one of her friends invited a woman with better means in her life to come with her to visit this shut-in woman who was down on her luck but yet optimistic. And as this regular visitor of this woman entered, the wealthier woman with him, she says, "Boy, this place doesn't smell very good." As they went up the stairs to the second floor, the woman said, "It doesn't smell, it smells even worse up here." And the woman taking her up to see the bedridden woman at the top said, "Well, it's better the higher up you get." And each floor they went up, the smells got worse. And finally, when they reached the fifth floor and went into this bedridden woman's apartment, she just had this glow on her face. She was smiling. She was so happy that people had come to visit her. And this wealthy woman, she says, "You know, I'm not trying to be rude or anything here, but," she says, "how do you stand to live in this building with these smells?" And this woman with the smile on her face says, "It's better the higher up you get." Her faith, you see, was not in this world. Her joy and her happiness, even in her condition of being bedridden, was in her Lord, who had promised not only to return again, but to be with her at every moment of her life, throughout her life, every day. And so she lived in that faith. Friends, Jesus said, "Stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. As we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table today, I'm going to invite you to stand up. But I'm going to invite you to not see our experience of communion as something we do out of fear or anxiety or simply out of tradition, but know that God blesses our time at God's table because of the hope it reminds us in His Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. And so stand up, lift your heads, be joyous during this season of Advent for the promised comings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I invite